At our studios on East Wausau Avenue, overcast skies. Temperature stands at 63 degrees. I'm Chad Holmes. Welcome to the Thursday edition of the Chad Holmes Show on Full Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at fullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coming up in just a few minutes at 8:15, we'll be joined for our weekly visit by the host of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow. We'll talk about what's going on in the news with Pat Kreitlow coming up at 8:15. Also today, want to put out a topic which we'll talk about more in depth a little bit later on starting this hour. This morning, came across a story that the Green Bay Packers have reported record revenue for last year. Packers' profit from operations and net income also up there as well. But a lot of revenue coming into the Green Bay Packers. And in the recently passed state budget, the Packers received some money to be hosting the NFL draft in a couple of years. And a question I want to throw out there today, and we'll get more details into this a little bit later on in the program, but question I want to throw out to you is, and generally, should public money go towards these very profitable professional sports franchises? And we are in an era where the value of professional sports franchises keep going up and up and up. And we rarely get a look at the books because the Green Bay Packers are a publicly owned professional sports franchise. So they are really the only NFL team and one of very few professional sports teams that have to put out the books, put out the numbers. And of course, numbers can be skewed. To be perfectly honest with you, I mean, I'm sure these numbers are fairly accurate. But again, we always hear the worst case scenario when it comes from owners when they're looking for handouts, when they're looking for a brand new stadium. As an example. In fact, a great example of the incredible money that is going towards billionaire owners is in Buffalo. The Buffalo Bills are in the midst of building a brand new stadium. It won't be open for another couple of years, but the New York State Legislature, the governor signed a bill giving the Buffalo Bills $850 million of state funding to help build this new stadium. The Pegula family is the owner of the Buffalo Bills. They are billionaires. Same situation going on right now in Major League Baseball. The owners of the Oakland Athletics, and one of the owners, the main owner, is a billionaire who basically got his money from his family. I think it was the Gap. The parents of John Fisher, the owner of the Oakland Athletics, were the founders of the Gap, became billionaires. John Fisher took, you know, basically the money as a second-generation rich guy. Now the owner of the Oakland Athletics, and he's been looking for hundreds of millions of dollars from the city of Oakland in order to build a new stadium and also get land around the stadium to have other businesses. Well, the discussions were continuing, and finally they decided, hey, we're going to go to Las Vegas instead. They got hundreds of millions of dollars of public funding for a proposed new stadium in Las Vegas on the Strip. And the Oakland Athletics have not been officially announced as moving to Las Vegas, but they are quite a way down the road. So what I want to ask our listeners today, and again, we'll talk more about this coming up after our discussion with Pat Kreitlow, is should taxpayers be giving big money to professional sports teams, whether or not they're publicly owned like the Green Bay Packers and giving Green Bay, the Packers, money to host the NFL draft, or in the case of the Buffalo Bills building a new stadium, or for the Oakland Athletics, basically giving them a lot of money to move from Oakland to Las Vegas. So write down this number. We're going to open up the phone lines after we talk to Pat. 715-298-1248. 715-298-1248. Should government and the taxpayers do everything in their power to keep these millionaire and billionaire owners happy in order to make sure they don't move away in the future? Again, we will open up the lines a little bit later on in this hour. 715-298-1248. 715-298-1248. The time is 8:12. Again, a lot of cloud cover. We had some significant rainfall here in central Wisconsin last night. In fact, in north and central Wisconsin, there were some warnings out there as well. But it looks as though after some very dry conditions in May and June, we're getting closer and closer to ending, at least getting out of the worst of the drought conditions with some significant rain here in July. We'll have more with the weather with meteorologist Jennifer Vuchiski coming up at 9:06. But coming up next, we'll talk to the host of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow. His weekly visit coming up next here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. The time is 8:15, overcast skies and 63 degrees currently in Wausau. And on Thursdays, we are always very happy that a man that's been working hard all morning long has decided to stick around and talk with us after his show from 6 until 8, Up North News. Of course, you hear it here on Bull Falls Radio and throughout the Civic Media Radio Network. And we're very happy to welcome back Pat Kreitlow. Pat, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for the shake it off. We've been trying to do that today between new studio technical gremlins and my wife's car being completely pummeled by golf ball-sized hail last night. Shake It Off should kind of be our theme today.
And also, I was listening, and you were talking to one of your guests who apparently is a Swiftie as well. Everybody's a Swiftie, so I thought, hey.
Everybody.
Exactly, you know? Right.
But it was one of those days. I mean, that was one of the live guests. But as you know, we sometimes pre-record a couple of interviews because it's sometimes not easy to get guests at 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I was so discombobulated from last night having to file, you know, an insurance claim for my wife's car and all that stuff that Aaron, my producer, gets in my ear at like 5:58 this morning and says, your 6:30 interview isn't here in the computer file. And I realized I hadn't edited it. And I don't know, for folks who remember the old movie Broadcast News, there's the scene where the producer is trying to edit this tape and then run the tape to the control room just in time for the evening news anchor to introduce it. And that is exactly what happened here behind the scenes during commercial breaks as I was editing, uploading it down to Madison and getting it to play back. And it works, but man, that's not the kind of day you need every morning, but it replaces any cup of coffee you could want.
The excitement of broadcasting. Yep, exactly right. Also, you have the excitement of broadcasting in a previous life. You have the excitement of being a public servant, somebody that was elected by the voters to serve in the state legislature. I wanted to ask you, because yesterday I was disgusted by Marjorie Taylor Greene. There's a responsibility when you are, in a public position, when you are elected by your constituents and then serving, especially in the United States Congress. And I thought about you, and I thought I'd just ask you about that. As somebody that has served, as somebody that's been, you know, in a public position, and I think a certain responsibility there, I just thought, you know, unfortunately, we are going down a rabbit hole. And this, whenever you think there's no new low, there's a new low. And what were your take on just as a representative doing something like that yesterday?
Well, it doesn't even have to be as a representative. It just has to be of a thinking, rational, competent human being. Is that when you see somebody that is that obnoxious and deliberately so, it reminds you of something that we have let slide here. And it's basically manners. And it's nothing more serious than that. And what happens is, in our entertainment world, and I'm not blaming them, I'm just saying that in our entertainment world, we sometimes reward these scenes where the so-called elitist, you know, is taken down a notch by the up-and-comer, the real person who speaks truth and, you know, takes care of the stuffed shirt. Well, unfortunately, we've taken that to such an extreme now that there are people who think that being disrespectful full-time is what you're supposed to do. And that you don't need rules, you don't need standards, you don't need norms, you don't even need manners, because there will always be a crowd, or some would say a mob, that will applaud that. And that anybody who wants to play by the rules, who wants to be proper, they're an elitist. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there are times when that's true, but more often than not, we have rules, standards, norms, and manners for a reason. It's just that nowadays, In you know, when a mob mentality is rewarded more than ever, there are people who rise further in the rank than their competency would otherwise allow, because they're willing to be so brash and in your face. And while it gets them attention, it doesn't serve all of the rest of us, which is what public service is supposed to be about.
And something else that I was thinking about after, you know, again, the latest from MTG, is I think often we get this feeling when we watch the news concerning national representatives, and you hear a lot of folks on the left who point out, I think, some of the flaws of people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and Matt Gaetz and Paul Gosar. And on the right, they like to point out about folks like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the rest of the squad. And I'm thinking there's a big difference between I think the targets from each side when it comes to national representatives. I think those that I mentioned on those from the right, the MTGs and the Boeberts and the Gateses and the Gosars, they're not serious about trying to figure out ways to fix problems and issues. While people like AOC and the rest of the squad, they're targets because they do focus, I think, a lot on issues. And there's way too much, I think, making things equal when we talk about, you know, the way that people treat others within the political spectrum. Is there anything to that?
Oh, absolutely, because a big chunk of why we started Up North News and a big chunk of why other folks started Civic Media was to go after this whole notion that any disagreement in politics is a case of both sidesism, in that both people are coming into a disagreement from an equal plane, when they most decidedly are not. There are some people that are there, like I said, again, to serve others, and there are people there who are serving more of an ideology, or, you know, just, you know, serving their most selfish or most wealthy, you know, supporters. And, you know, the thing that has to be kept in mind when we come at this from a both sides standpoint is, again, just the, what is it that brings you there, and who is it that, you know, you're working on behalf of? In the case of your Boeberts and others, they're working on behalf of the myth, I would contend, of rugged individualism. If you want to be fair to them for just a second, and I'm only going to do it for a second, they would say that, well, we do have a set of American values that we don't need government interference. We don't need, You know, people don't need a hand up. They need a kick in the pants. You know, that kind of mentality. The fact of the matter is, though, never been true. This country and humanity have always been about providing some help. Yes, sometimes you are teaching the proverbial man to fish, but you know what? Sometimes you actually are giving them a fish because they are literally dying of hunger. And there are people who would take that fish away, or in this case, that free school lunch, because of this ideology that has never been, you know, universally true for mankind. We are here to help each other. We are our brother's keeper. And yeah, you can, of course you can go too far that way. But I'd rather go too far that way than, you know, looking down at people who are in unfortunate circumstances as untouchable and that there's no need to help them. Of course there is. And that's what we do in government, politics, and public services. We find the right way to help those most in need. We don't sneer at them like others do.
Again, we're talking to Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News, which you can hear each and every weekday from 6 until 8 a.m. here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 to 1230 and across the Civic Media Radio Network. Speaking of priorities, this morning as I was getting ready for the program and looking over some news stories, and came across a story this morning from Wisconsin Policy Forum. They have a new report out about the budget that we have been talking about for so many months. And the report, and we've continued to talk about it after the line item vetoes from the governor. According to this report, Wisconsin taxpayers are still set to receive over $1 billion in state and local tax relief over the next 2 years, plus some significant spending increases at the same time. Story goes on to talk about, again, how upset Robin Voss is about the governor's decision to veto the additional tax cuts from the state's two second highest tax brackets. Again, I think sometimes we talk about, you know, the headlines, but now as we had a chance to step back a little bit and look at exactly what has happened with this budget, what are the major takeaways for you? And I know that you touched on it again this morning about there's still more to come because of the surplus that's remaining, that perhaps we could have, you know, some further tax cuts and even some further spending increases in very important areas. What's your basic takeaway now that we've got to this stage of the budget process?
Well, the basic takeaway is a little on the depressing side in that we are back to where we were a couple of years ago when we first started to emerge out of the worst of the pandemic recession. And we saw that between pandemic relief that was coming from the federal government and just the overall recovery because of the smart decisions that Governor Evers and others made, we saw a couple of years back that there was going to be a surplus and that there are clearly still needs out there. But Republicans had said and made quite clear, we're not going to do anything with the surplus. We're going to let it pile up, and then our guy is going to beat Tony Evers, and then we're going to turn as much of it as possible into tax cuts. Well, their guy didn't win. And so eventually they had to, you know, pass a budget with Governor Evers. They tried to include a tax cut that, again, gave away so much of the surplus to the very wealthy. Governor Evers vetoed that part of it and said, come on, guys, try again. I'm good with a tax cut. I really am. But you can't have it so skewed toward the wealthy. And what has the Republican response been to this point? The same as it was a couple of years back. You know what? We're just going to sit here and let it pile up. And maybe you run for a third term, Governor Evers. Maybe you don't. Maybe we win. Maybe we lose. But if you're not going to let us give it away in tax cuts, we're sure not going to spend it on children or health care or natural resources or broadband or anything. So while there is talk about a fall session and maybe a new tax cut better skewed toward the middle class, I would also not be a bit surprised if Republicans did what they've done the last two sessions, and that's go home, get paid, and go home for months at a time and do nothing with that surplus to help the real families and small businesses and farmers of Wisconsin.
And you're hit it on the head there. It's not just one group. There are so many of these issues that would aid business. And that's what they like to talk about, you know, about, you know, growing the economy and making sure business stays successful. We talked about broadband. We talk about childcare. That all involves business. And it feels like they're not willing to take the win sometimes. Isn't that, you know, the straightforward answer? They could take a win here, and yet they really don't want to because it's not the win that they want.
Well, exactly. That's exactly what this is. Like we've said so many times, with a $7 billion surplus, there is so much room for a win-win. And again, it comes down to Governor Evers was not stopping Republicans from having a win-win package that had significant tax cuts, but also put money into things that are essential, like the University of Wisconsin system. And instead, Republicans cut the UW system budget because they were unhappy with, you know, the inability to micromanage them. And so they showed that they were not serious about being a partner in the budget. Again, there is still time. They could come to their senses in the fall and say, okay, let's get this so that we get, you know, the tax cuts we want, you get the investments you want. We both go to the voters and say, what do you think? Do you want to pick his approach or my approach? And instead, they're looking for obstruction and inaction and demonization. And unfortunately, that's the only thing in their playbook right now. They can't win on their ideas. And so you hide behind gerrymandered maps and billionaires buying political ads. And you hold on to power any way that you can rather than governing. Governor Evers is looking to govern, and Republicans are saying, no, thank you.
And one final topic I wanted to get your opinion on, because I'm going to be talking about this with our listeners coming up this morning. The Packers reported record revenue for last year, and they have good profits, and it's a rare look into professional sports because as a publicly owned franchise, they have to actually open up their books to the people. While most, if not all, of the other major sports ownership groups and teams don't have to do so. And part of the budget was a small amount in the big picture, but still an amount that went to Green Bay in order to host the NFL draft coming up in a year or two. And I'm going to ask about whether or not public monies should be going to professional sports teams. And of course, another issue is the Brewers and American Family Field as well. As somebody that's had to, you know, discuss these kind of issues in the past in your former work, what's your take on public money for professional sports franchises?
This is when people say, you know, that all issues come down to partisan positions one way or the other. This is a classic case of one that is not. The smoking ban was another example back when I was in the legislature of it. Not a partisan issue. It's everybody. It's truly, you know, you pick where you come down on, where you think you best represent your constituents. Public funding for certain venues and teams and areas, that too is not necessarily tied to partisanship. Just look at how what was then called Miller Park was built. You know, the legislature was deeply divided. Governor Tommy Thompson twisting arms until the very last minute, you know, to get a bipartisan vote. And that's going to happen pretty much every time. It happened with building Fiserv Arena, the current home of the Milwaukee Bucks, where, again, you had Democrats and Republicans on both sides with very earnest beliefs on this. So now I'll tell you mine. Mine is that there is a role for public money in something under the umbrella of economic development. The economic development that comes not just from a major league sports team in Milwaukee, but from a performing arts center in Eau Claire, or, you know, a minor league sports stadium, you know, in towns around Wisconsin. Every one of these things does have some economic development benefit to it. It's really just a matter of how much public money is a fair amount. The people who are saying zero, I'm sorry, I don't agree with them. I get that baseball teams and others are, you know, have millionaires, maybe even billionaires. But you're going to get that with any partner who's coming in to do economic development. It's a matter of, from a public service standpoint, is there a role that can be played to encourage people to come to your town and spend money on whatever it might be? And if you do it in a smart way, that's economic development. That's not wasting taxpayer funds. I don't know where that line is. You take it, each one on its own merits. I'm just saying that from my standpoint, the number's not zero.
Very, very interesting. And I agree with a lot of what you said. The one thing that always gets under my skin, though, is when they pull out the move out of town card so quickly. And we even saw that in Milwaukee with the Brewers. So already, where the commissioner came into town to kind of twist of an arm or two. And that really turns me off so very quickly, because I agree that there is a role. But boy, when they use that card as quickly as they did, that turns me off very quickly.
You're so correct. And again, much like there's no right answer for the dollar amount, if you agree it's not zero, there's also no right answer for when do you use that bit of leverage and how do you use it? Do you use it in a threatening tone? Is it just sitting out there? And, oh, believe me, as somebody who grew up in the Twin Cities and watched the Minnesota North Stars move out, and that was a real knife in the back, mm-hmm. you know, by the owner. But by the end of it, the way that he was squawking, even though I would say, call myself a proponent of public money, the way that his tone was, my feeling was, get out. You are not allowed to hold the taxpayers hostage. So clearly, whatever number he was looking at was also not $0. But it was way too high with these threats to move. And so it comes right back to Kenny Rogers, my friend. Know when to hold them, know when to fold them.
Pat Kreitlow, host of...
Oh, wait. You know all about that, don't you? You know all of this already.
Sometimes. Sometimes I hold them a little too long, and sometimes I fold them a little too early. So, yeah.
There you go. Next thing you know, that team has turned over a 10, and holy crap, you know, it just happens. Yep, I get it.
Got to keep Kenny in the back of the mind all the time. But, Pat,
all the time.
Thank you again. Of course, make sure people tune in 6 to 8 a.m. Up North News. Check out the website again, Up North News as well. But, Pat, again, thanks a lot. We'll talk again next week.
You bet. Talk to you later. Thanks.
We'll have more coming up. The time is almost 8:35. Again, an overcast start here in central Wisconsin. Temperature of 63 degrees. More to come. I'm Chad Holmes on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. We're coming up fast on another high school sports season here in central Wisconsin. Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 is very proud to be the only Wausau radio station that still covers high school sports on a play-by-play basis. I'm Chad Holmes. I've been with WXCO for over 20 years, bringing you coverage of Wausau West, Newman Catholic, and Marathon High School sports. In order to continue the coverage of the Warriors, Cardinals, and Red Raiders at the level we have over the years, we need your support. We are looking for businesses and individuals to help support our broadcast of high school sports on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Please help us continue to tell the stories of our student athletes here in central Wisconsin. To find out the different options to support our broadcast of high school sports, give our civic media sales team a call at 608-949-8989. That's 608-949-8989. It's your chance to show your support of our student athletes and continue our broadcast of high school sports on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Home show on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. 8:41 on this Thursday morning. Boy, another week that's just flying right on by, getting closer and closer to the weekend weather-wise. We expect mostly cloudy skies to continue throughout the day. Very moderate temperatures. High temperature today of 74. Tonight, mostly clear. Great night for sleeping. Low drops to 50. And then for the weekend, Friday, a slight chance of showers between 1 and 4 p.m. Also a chance of showers and T-storms after that. Otherwise, partly sunny skies and a high near 79. And then Saturday, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1 p.m. Otherwise, Mostly sunny and a high of 80. And Sunday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1 p.m., a slight chance. Otherwise, we expect plenty of sunshine Sunday and a high near 82 degrees. If you look into the future, into early next week, we start to see a bit of a warming trend. In fact, by Monday, low 80s, mid to upper 80s next Tuesday, and then maybe by next Wednesday, temperatures getting close to 90 degrees. So enjoy the moderate temperatures in the 70s while we have them here for the next few days. Overcast skies, 63 degrees currently at our studios on East Wausau Avenue in Wausau. And again, a chilly start, but pleasant start as well. Thanks again to Pat Kreitlow for coming on and joining us as he does on Thursdays here on Bow Falls Radio. And I ended with that discussion again about using public money for professional sports teams. And I thought Pat really hit it on the head that there is a role for it. But boy, I get so annoyed. And we saw it a couple of months ago when the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred, tried to get involved in the budget discussion where there was a budget item that was put in by Governor Tony Evers for some money to go towards maintaining and even improving American Family Field, add another decade or so to the lease to keep the Milwaukee Brewers in Wisconsin for even a longer period of time. But the commissioner came into town and said, well, you see what's going on in Oakland. You don't want that to happen here in Milwaukee. I mean, it was so heavy-handed, in my opinion, that there is, I think, room to add some money for maintenance of American Family Field, that we're not asking for a new stadium at this point, just maintenance. The Brewers could have said, we're not thinking about going anywhere, but for long-term benefits for both the team and for the state and city, this would be a good thing to happen. But instead, come barreling into the state is Rob Manfred saying that, boy, if you don't give this money, it could be like Oakland. You see what's happening with Oakland? It looks like they're going to Las Vegas because Oakland did not partner with the Athletics to keep them in town. I mean, it just, and that whole Oakland story is one that, I mean, I'm not going to go into all the details, but it's also very disturbing. And I mentioned as well that in Buffalo, the Buffalo Bills, they have been supported so very well by upstate New York for so many years. And they have a stadium that is a more of an older stadium. They did renovate it, but it's still a stadium that's been open since 1972. And, you know, back in the days when O.J. Simpson was playing for the Buffalo Bills in the 70s, of course, they did have, you know, renovations, but it's still a very old stadium. But the whole point of it is they're getting $850 million of public funding. Unbelievable amount. And one of the state representatives in New York State said, well, we have to do it. We have to do it because they might have moved to San Diego. And that right there, that showed it was a lie to me. Because anybody that follows what's going on in California and San Diego, to be specific, San Diego does not have the stadium the Chargers played in was torn down. They have shown absolutely no stomach to putting in a new football stadium in San Diego. So again, these folks are sometimes intellectually dishonest in order to get this public funding. And I brought it up to begin with because today the Green Bay Packers have reported record revenue for last year. The Packers are getting set for their annual shareholders meeting. Every year, you know, the folks that buy the stock, they go into Lambeau Field, and this time around it's 11 a.m. on Monday. And they hear about the financial results for the past year. But the Packers have already put it out there to the media. The Packers reported more than $610 million in revenue for the 2022-2023 fiscal year. The team reported significant profits from operations of nearly $70 million and net income of more than $35 million. And I mentioned all this because just recently, as part of the state budget, the Green Bay Packers received a couple of million dollars to host the NFL draft coming up in a year and a half. I'm trying to remember, is it 2024, 2025, but whatever it is, the Packers will be hosting the draft in Green Bay. It's going to be a big event. And yes, there is a reason why the state would be, I think, comfortable giving a small amount to a Green Bay and the Packers specifically in order to run this event, because it's going to bring in a lot of folks who are going to spend a lot of money, and it should be, I think, a very profitable endeavor. But at the same time, it's a pattern where you look at professional sports franchises, and they basically always are trying to grab that extra little bit of public money. And I think part of it is that the leagues themselves, the commissioners and the other owners, they never want to see a situation where, unless absolutely necessary, where teams don't at least ask for significant amounts of public money. Because they want it to be almost the state of play that if you are a city that wants to keep one of the major professional sports franchises, you have to put in significant amounts of money. And these teams like to call it a public-private partnership. What the level of the public partnership is varies. Sometimes, like in Buffalo, it's well over a 50-50 partnership. Other times, and I think we've seen it maybe with Pfizer Forum and others, where it's closer to that 50-50 partnership. So again, I wanted to ask you, what are your conditions? Do you agree with what Pat Kreitlow said, that there is a role for a public partnership in terms of providing financing for new stadiums or other areas where these professional sports franchises are looking for a public donation, whether it's the NFL draft or something else? 715-298-1248. 715-298-1248. I'm really interested. Do you feel comfortable giving public money to these often billionaire owners? And Pat said it right. Well, in these partnerships, of course, there could be millionaires and billionaires, because those are the only people that actually own these franchises nowadays. You can't. We heard the story about the Powerball jackpot. $1 billion, one of the largest Powerball or lottery jackpots we've ever seen. $1 billion. And the person that wins, if they take a lump sum, gets somewhere around $550 million. That is nothing when it comes to trying to buy a professional sports franchise. You have to have multiple millions of dollars in order to buy these franchises. So you can be a lottery. It used to be, if you're a lottery winner, we could actually buy a professional sports team. Not anymore, because the values keep going up and up and up. I mean, it's insane, the amount of money. And one of the issues I also have with the public money, and again, I think there are rules. I was happy to see Pfizer Forum built, because the Bucks were going away. And we needed a new facility, because the Bradley Center had been, I think, beyond its usefulness. So I saw that. And also, one reason why I was happy about the Pfizer Forum deal is, yes, the public put in significant amounts of money, but also the former owner, Herb Cole, put in a big amount of money. The new owners put in a significant amount of money. That's the way it has to be. It has to be that way. But when you have folks that are just saying, give, 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 that doesn't work. We're going to keep discussing this after we take a quick break. We're going to come back in 2 minutes. More of this as we wrap up the first hour of the program. I'm Chad Holmes. So the time is 8:50. More to come. Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Hey, don't forget, Civic Pints. Yep, Civic Media doing something fun and important this summer. and it is called Hashtag Civic Pints. We're challenging everyone out there to go out and give blood. And it's really important right now because there is a shortfall right now in the state of Wisconsin when it comes to blood donations. And right now, going through July 31st, everyone out there who gives blood and then sends us proof by going to your social media and using the hashtag Civic Pints, you'll be entered to win a pair of Brewer tickets, a pair of tickets to the Wisconsin State Fair, and more. So again, a chance to do something good and also a chance to get some prizes courtesy of Civic Media. And also, there'll be 100 packs of swag being given away, a whole bunch of great prizes being given away. And all you have to do, again, is go off and give blood here between now and July 31st and then post it to your Civic Media. Take a selfie, post it with the hashtag Civic Pints. Civic Pints. So you can find a donation center close to us by going to civicmedia.us/giveblood. There is a donation center in Stevens Point. It's the Stevens Point Red Cross Blood Platelet and Plasma Donation Center on Main Street in Stevens Point. Also, there is a great blood donation center in Merrill. This is the Merrill Donor Center at 601 South Center Avenue in Merrill as well. So again, there are all sorts of areas that you can go and give blood, but do it, because between now and July 31st, Civic Media is trying to do our part to be good citizens here in the state of Wisconsin and try to close that gap when it comes to blood donations in the state of Wisconsin. So again, go to civicmedia.us/giveblood. Take that selfie, tag us with the hashtag Civic Pints, all one word, and you'll be able to win some of the great prizes that we are giving away. Boy, again, that's one of the things that's been so terrific about Civic Media. We're coming up on our one-year anniversary when it comes to Civic Media here in Central Wisconsin. Civic Media bought WXCO Radio 1 year ago on August the 1st. So again, in about a week and a half or so, we'll be celebrating our one-year anniversary of Bow Falls Radio. It's been hectic. It's been a lot of fun. We are looking forward to making our big move, heading downtown to move our studios to downtown Wausau very, very soon. And year number two should be fantastic as well. And really, it's been great to be part of, and looking forward to bigger and even better things coming up in year number two. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio. Coming up in the next hour, going to talk a little bit about, again, healthcare. And coming up next Tuesday, I will be joined again by Bruce Grau. He wants to talk about healthcare. And he wants to talk about how, you know, and also talk about the poor and talk about those who are struggling. Because we have, again, 2024 is coming up. You got big elections for president, U.S. Senate, and also the mayor of Wausau. And some of the topics that sometimes get overlooked. And we're going to try to talk to Bruce about some of those topics that get overlooked. What are some topics that are important when it comes to the mayoral race and other races when we get into 2024? So Bruce Grau will be joining us on Tuesday of next week at 9 a.m. And also, Bruce had sent me a very interesting op-ed about healthcare providers raking in the profits by exploiting programs meant for the poor. I'm going to discuss this article that appeared on The Hill. And it's very interesting, and we'll do that in the second hour as well. So, again, lots still to come. Coming up here in just a few moments, we will find out what's going on around the country and around the world. CBS News at the top of the hour. Brittany Merlot will be back as well with a WXCO Bow Falls Radio news update. And then at 9:06, we'll be talking live from Weatherology by meteorologist Jennifer Vuchinski. Talk about what very pleasant temperatures, and talk about what we can expect weather-wise when we get into the weekend. So still plenty to come. Glad you could join me. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app.